Good morning, good afternoon. I take that back. Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry for the delay. We had a little technical glitch that we had to get satisfied. For the record, this is the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, and today's date is Monday, February 7th, 2022. There are three bills on our agenda today, but before we begin, I just wanted to mention that over the next several weeks, we will be hearing bills that have appropriations. And in most cases, we'll simply hear these bills and lay them over. However, today, two of the three bills we will be voting on and moving, if they pass muster with us, to finance and to capital investment. So just a few words in advance of that. The first bill we have is Senator Housley's Senate File 2848, and that's the promotion of importance and recruitment of peace officers. So, Senator Housley, welcome to the committee, and you may begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before you is Senate File 2848. It is a bill to promote peace officers. $1 million is appropriated to the Commissioner of Public Safety. And the reason for this bill is police officers get up every single morning and go to work knowing that this could be the day that they actually have a call that goes wrong, a day that they could be injured in the line of duty or even worse, yet they still do it just because they want to serve their communities. Police officers have always trudged along and done this hard and dangerous work because they were serving their community that appreciated their service. But now, they aren't sure that their sacrifice is appreciated. They aren't sure that the risk they're taking every single day is still worth it. So police officers are retiring early, leaving their jobs, and there isn't a pipeline of recruits to take their place. So that's why it's important for this bill. Our police officers' heroic actions keep Minnesotans safer in their day-to-day lives. We need more police officers, and we must appreciate the ones we have. So with this bill, we'd be advertising the value and the need for being a peace officer and the rewarding career that it could be and the wonderful and hard work that they do. It is my hope that we can elevate and recognize all law enforcement professions and spread the word of this rewarding and honorable career. And with that, it's Senate File 2848.
All right. Thank you. Senator, did you have a testifier? Could you introduce this testifier to us?
Yep. Mr. Chair, I do believe I have Chief Potts here with me.
Executive Director Potts.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Senator Housley and Mr. Chair. My name is Jeff Potts. I am the currently the Executive Director of the Minnesota Chiefs Association. I recently retired as a police chief in Bloomington. But I'm here today speaking on behalf of the MCPA, who represents more than 300 police chiefs across the state and an additional 150 command staff officers, and the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, representing the 87 elected sheriffs in Minnesota. Law enforcement, it's no secret, I think the senator laid this out very well, but law enforcement agencies across the state and frankly across the country are experiencing significant challenges to recruit, hire, and retain police officers. A recent survey that we did, we learned that the number of applicants for police officer positions in most communities in the state of Minnesota is down between 70 and 80% from where it was just 2 years ago. Additionally, there are approximately 900 currently open or unfilled police officer positions in the state of Minnesota. We've also learned that the number of students enrolling in law enforcement programs and the educational programs at the colleges and universities in Minnesota has declined significantly over the past 2 years. We do believe that Senate File 2848 will help to change this trend. And for those reasons, the MCPA and the MCA or MSA support this bill. And we thank you for the opportunity to be before you here today. I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you, Director Potts. Is there any questions? Senator Bigham.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Housley and Executive Director Potts. I think this is a good idea. I just have a couple just technical questions on it. It's kind of general. So I'm wondering, like, Is this something that through DPS, like Stillwater Police Department, if they are going through a hiring phase, like if they have a bunch of retirements and they need it, or Cottage Grove, are they going to be able to tap into this and work with their own individual, like HR departments, to do some advertising, like maybe some social media ads or ads in the local papers? Or is this like more of a general statewide thing?
Senator Housley or Director Potts, who would like to answer that question? Our local jurisdictions, can they make use of this money, or is it more of a general application?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Bigham. It's my understanding that they can work with the Post Board. It is a general money for a statewide campaign, but those local municipalities can go through the Post Board and work if they want to do a local advertising campaign.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Doerr, would you come up to the table? Senator Ingebrigtsen, did you have a question at this time?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe, Chief Potts, you can answer this. The technical colleges in Alexandria, for one, I believe there's one up on the range, another criminal justice education universities where, the thought is to go into the field of law enforcement. Are these dollars going to be going to those for job fairs? Are they going to be going to individual departments? It seems like I think the universities as well as the technical institutes, which are now universities, do a pretty fair job of doing that. Is this to bolster that a little bit, or are you talking specifically, for instance, Otter Tail County or Douglas County would go together and do some sort of recruitment?
Senator Housley, did you have any comment?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, they too can work together with the Post Board if they have a need to lay out their plan to advertise their technical college and what they offer for education and law enforcement. So that's my understanding of how it's going to work. And maybe Mr. Potts has more details on that.
Thank you, Senator Housley. Mr. Chair, and Senator Ingebrigtsen, we have had some discussions about how these dollars could be used and be effective. And there are a few things that are kind of being discussed, one of which is trying to put together a branding and marketing campaign for law enforcement that's done well and that can be used by the colleges and universities. And to the question that was asked just a few minutes ago by Senator Bingham, that also could be used when agencies are hiring. And there are some branding videos out there. And frankly, I think this money would help to bolster the resources that it takes to do those well. And hopefully it would be done in a way that attracts more people into the field of law enforcement, those of which would probably be going to colleges and universities. They can use this branding material, campaign material, specifically on their in their channels, but also law enforcement officers or law enforcement agencies can use this when they do hiring processes. There is the ability to cross promote on the Post website. And right now, most candidates that are looking for law enforcement agencies do look at the Post website, which lists individual departments that are hiring. And so we feel that when done properly and done well, a robust marketing and branding campaign can be beneficial to not only bring in new people, but also help agencies that are looking to hire officers that exist or that are working in other departments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Latz, I see your hand up. Did you want to ask questions now, or would you like to start after our last witness or testifier?
I'll wait until the last witness testifies, Mr.
All
Chairman.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Doerr, would you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, my name is Rob Doerr, and I'm speaking in a personal capacity today. My degree I got from Century College is in law enforcement. My and then continued on to Bemidji State University for a criminal justice degree. I worked in law enforcement before deciding to pursue law school, much to everybody's advice otherwise, but still continued on that path. But I still currently train prospective law enforcement officers who are going through skills in firearms education and working on their firearms skills so that they can qualify as peace officers for the firearms qualification. And I like this bill. I think Senator Housley hit it especially important that officers need to feel the appreciation. And they need to feel, prospective officers need to feel that their career path is going to be one that is going to be honorable, that is going to be make them feel appreciated and worthwhile to the community. And I can tell you for a significant number of the students that I encounter that are currently in the pipeline, that's not what they're feeling. And I think you could spend $10 million on an advertising campaign or $100 million, and that it's not going to fix the core issue of making sure that officers feel that they are a welcome part of the community and that they are going to be appreciated for the job that they do. I think they see a lot of the high-profile instances where officers make a mistake. And they're prosecuted, and I'm going to bring up the example of Kimberly Potter, who made a horrendous mistake, was found guilty of manslaughter, and now the Attorney General is seeking enhanced charges under the justification that she was a police officer and abused her authority. And I think when that those are things that the students that I encounter talk about. They see that they feel like after all the work that they do, after all the schooling they complete, all the training that they do, that they are going to be hung out to dry should they continue that. Now, I know there's not necessarily a legislative fix for that, but I think it's important that we address that we could throw a whole lot of money at recruitment, retention, and training and still not address the core issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Orr. Anyone else wishing to speak on this particular bill? Hearing none, Senator Lantz.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of thoughts. One is, I'm not sure how far $1 million goes, for one thing. In the metro market, I think that'd be absorbed very, very quickly, and there don't seem to be any guardrails around on this bill that would indicate if it should be focused on social media, if it should be focused on branding, which is not listed in the bill, creating videos that can be used by, posting on websites by individual departments or so on. It's very broad. I'm also concerned, as Mr. Dorr just testified, that you could spend a lot more money than this. And it's going to end up being, just a drop in an ocean in terms of what impact it might have on society's views toward law enforcement officers. I think there needs to be a lot more done than $1 million marketing and advertising campaign. So I'm concerned about that. It's fine as far as it goes, I suppose. It will, someone who's thinking of going into law enforcement will see an ad on television or something will pop up on their phone as they're scrolling through Instagram, and it'll say, something good about being a law enforcement officer. If that's going to convince someone that they want to dedicate their life to a high-risk profession of public service, I don't know if that's the tipping point that we want, to bring someone in to the field. I'm only going to make one comment in response to Mr. Dorr's statement about the Potter matter, and no matter what people felt individually about what happened there, the fact is a jury unanimously decided she'd committed a serious crime. So I don't think that necessarily people are being hung out to dry. There is a criminal justice system, and it did what it did, and we all have to respect that and move on from there. But again, I don't think that a $1 million marketing and advertising campaign is going to undo the conduct of a very limited number of law enforcement officers that have behaved inappropriately or wrongfully. So I just don't know if it's $1 million that's will be well spent. And I think I would like to see maybe some more guardrails around, you know, what will be done with $1 million. I can think of a number of good things to do with $1 million that I think would, you know, help prevent crime more than an advertising and marketing campaign would do. But I guess that's one of the questions I have. Maybe Director Potts or Senator Housley can answer this. I mean, is there any precedent that we can point to that would indicate that something of what's being nature of what's being proposed here is effective in convincing more people to join law enforcement? You know, if it's a marketing campaign that's directed at poaching officers from one agency to, you know, to another, you know, I'm not sure that that's our role to, you know, as a state to fund. If the goal is to, although I, you know, certainly there are some agencies that are, you know, forces are depleted more than others, and they're trying to bring experienced officers into the communities. And that's a helpful thing, but whether we want to spend an advertising campaign to facilitate that, I'm not sure that's the best use of our money. But maybe there is some evidence to suggest that a marketing and advertising campaign would convince some people who weren't thinking of law enforcement or were thinking about it but hadn't made a decision that they decide they want to go into law enforcement. But I'd like to hear it if there's some data to back that up.
Thank you, Senator Latz. Senator Housley or Director Potts, dollar amount, is it enough? And where might it be spent?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Latz. There is some data out there, and I can get it to you, that this has worked in other states. That's where the idea came from, and it did work because the morale of our peace officers is so low right now that so many of them are retiring early, and there isn't a pipeline to fill those empty jobs. And so by promoting and appreciating the police officers that we do have, I think something like this will work. Is $1 million enough? That's what's been working in other states. That was where the idea came from and what we put in this bill for it to work. And I don't know if Mr. Potts has something else to add to that.
Right.
Director Potts, did you want to add to that?
I can just make a quick comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Latz, I think we can point to a couple of different areas where we have seen some levels of success in this. One, if you've ever seen advertisements for the Alaska State Patrol, they sold this, you know, great job of law enforcement throughout the country and were successful. I think it's challenging for Alaska. Obviously, it's a long ways away from most of the other states, but they sold it as Alaska is a great place to be. It's a great place to work, especially if you like the outdoors. You know, I think those are some similar characteristics to the state of Minnesota, but there is one state that did do this in a way that has been deemed successful. And I'm going to make another statement here, but I don't want people to misunderstand this. I'm not saying that law enforcement and the armed services are the same. There are very distinct differences in the two. But we have seen success in the various armed services who have developed very robust marketing and branding campaigns to help them recruit people into those services. They're different. But when done well, it can help bring more people into law. We believe it can replicate that in the sense that it's bringing more people into this this profession because they want to serve their community. They want to serve their state. They want to serve their county. Now, they're different, but those are two areas where we can point to where there have been successes and a well-done marketing and branding campaign to bring more people into this profession.
Senator Latz, your hand is still up.
I forgot to lower it, but yeah, thank you. I did have a follow-up. I appreciate the information that apparently there's some data in other states that suggest this kind of a marketing or advertising campaign has been successful. Ordinarily, the committee would be the place to bring forth that data in support of convincing us to pass a bill and appropriate money. So I guess one question I have for the chairman is whether this is one of those bills that's going to be laid over for possible inclusion in a budget bill, or is this one of the bills that you intend to move forward from here to I assume finance would be its next stop if it were going to be a standalone bill. But when will we have an opportunity to see some of the data that supports spending $1 million on this proposal?
Sir Latz, the intention is to vote on the bill, and if passed, it would go to the Finance Committee.
So, Mr. Chairman, the follow-up question is then, when will we as a committee have a chance to view, scrutinize, and evaluate the data that supports the effectiveness of this $1 million?
Well, I guess that's a judgment of the committee when we vote on it today. I don't believe that Senator Housley may have that other research, but we're leaving it up to the Finance Committee to review.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would respectfully suggest that that's our purview, that's our jurisdiction, that's our responsibility. And I'm sure that there are people who just want to move this forward because it's part of a larger agenda, which, you know, I respect. But I would maybe ask future bills that come before us, this is the time you're supposed to convince the committee that this is money we're spent, and we're sitting as a finance committee to consider doing this, and it's not something that we should be passing on lightly. It is $1 million of taxpayer dollars, and I feel the responsibility at least to understand how it would be effective before I'd be comfortable passing it along to the Finance Committee, which is going to either consider it individually or add it to a big package of hundreds of millions of dollars. And so I think it's kind of our job. And I would hope for in future bills that come before us, that kind of information is provided to us as committee members so we can do our jobs here on the committee most effectively. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Latz. You make good points. We'll move on to Senator Bingham.
Mr. Chair, I've already asked a question, and I see Senator Kiffmeyer's hands up, so I'll defer to her and come back when everybody else has had a chance.
Okay. Senator Bingham wants last word. So, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's a little different way of putting it, but somebody else may be there. So, Mr. Chair, the way I look at this bill, though, first of all, it is the city who hires police when it comes to what we classically think as the police. State Patrol is a little bit different venue. But when it comes to cities, Minneapolis City, St. Paul City, City of Alexandria, City of Big Lake, so on and so forth, they do that. And they also expend dollars as well in hiring and getting the message out. But I look forward to supporting this bill because I think this is a little different. What I've heard from young people, especially during this time where they wanted to step up, they had questions. How do I do this? Where do I go? Where do I start? Many times I say, just contact your local city. Your cities are the place. And then just email the city administrator and ask them. But I think the other question then they have is, what kind of education do I need? And I think there's a lot of general public people who already do want to be in law enforcement. They have a heart for that kind of service. It's kind of like almost any other career that people have, including actually being an elected official. It's not for everybody. And you'll hear people say that I just could never do that. Well, it's not for everybody, but nor is law enforcement. But when I think of an advertising or a campaign like this in recruiting, is pulling from, and we might want to consider something, information on how to enter the profession of law enforcement. I don't see it as much as a thank you kind of a thing, although if it's done in a negative way, yeah, I think it would be hard to get people recruited if all they heard was all the negative. But I think there are plenty of those who are very professional, very qualified, who can do an excellent job of speaking to the general public and reaching into those who might want to serve, but they just don't know how. How do they get into this kind of a profession? It's unique in that regard. So I would just say, Mr. Chair, I think first of all, in dollars, there are city dollars already being expended, and this can come alongside that and be helpful in that regard. But then also information how to enter the profession so that when there are people out there who want to do this, they have a little bit of an idea of how to get into the flow of applying or what that takes. I think dollars today on some of the major media things, but I think there's many creative ways to reach into the general public that are there to us that wasn't always there before that can be useful, and coordinating it maybe with also local cities, League of Minnesota cities, counties, et cetera, that might be helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. We'll move on to Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I assume I speak in the regular microphone here. Right. Thank you. And I don't unmute myself.
That's right.
The sign just came up. I had really two issues, but I do hear a little feedback. One is the Capital Investment Committee has toured a lot of these public safety police training programs. Am I supposed to push F1 or something? Okay. And is my audio muted on my Zoom? Where do I? Sorry, I did not. Yeah, it's muted, right? Okay. Sorry, technical issues. Back to, if I can gather my thoughts now. So we've toured a lot of these public safety programs, and they are, I think maybe the community colleges, Senator Housley, are probably best equipped to do the promotion of their own programs. So I would kind of recommend that you think about that rather than having the post board do it. It just directs some resources to the community colleges. My second issue is, Mr. Chairman, if you would yield to my question, I thought I heard you say that this is going out as a standalone bill. And I'm confused because generally in a finance committee, you would keep all the money bills. I think Senator Latz alluded to this. And then once you get a target, you'd be able to look at what all the requests were and then come up with kind of a proposal. I mean, in the minority, I'm not really privy to that process. But it seems to me, since we don't know what other requests are out there yet, and we don't know what your target's going to be, I hope a robust one. I would encourage you to ask for a lot of money because we have a lot of needs in this area. It just seems kind of premature to be sending this on. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Just a word, Senator Rosen requested this particular bill to travel on its own, and so we're granting her that request in this one regard.
Okay.
Thank you. It looks like Senator Bacon, we've been waiting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a quick question. So I met with Mike Leos a few weeks ago, and my friend and Senator Housley's friend, Sheriff Starry, mentioned that he's having a hard time with sheriff's correctional officers in his jails. Does this allow, because I know that Director Potts said that the Sheriff's Association supports it, are they allowed to kind of co-promote because they have different dispatchers and they're having issues, you know, retention and recruitment issues, the jailers and police. So is this, I mean, are they allowed to use it for all of that, or is this strictly on like sheriff's deputies?
Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Bingham. This is just for peace officers and law enforcement, not correctional officers, but it's a good idea.
Senator Bingham, I do know that the Department of Corrections has used some of their existing budget to encourage recruitment for Department of Corrections. And they're to the point of it's a hiring bonus that they offer for officers. And so I know they also are in need of new personnel, but we did try to address some of that in the last two sessions regarding the budget.
Mr. Chair, maybe it's something that Senator Housley and I can work on together about like county dispatchers, jailers, and the other duties that they have to protect and serve our communities as well, so that they can help with recruitment on that side of it. Maybe that's something that we can work on outside of this.
All right.
Thank you.
Senator Latz, you had another question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I forgot to ask specifically if Senator Housley could provide to the committee some of the background data that she says supports the use of these funds or the effectiveness of this kind of spending. I think it'd be helpful to see it, even if it's after the bill has left this train station. But my other question is whether or not, sounds like the Post Board is being tasked in some way with participating in this, and I don't know what level of background or experience they have in this, and I just wonder if they've been consulted with this and if it's something that they feel they're in a position to assist with.
Senator Housley?
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, yes, thank you. They have been consulted with this and know about the bill and are willing to cooperate. And yes, I will get the background information and where this has worked in other states, and I'll get that to Angela and Senator Limmer to get out to you.
Thank you.
We'll make sure all of the members of our committee get a copy of that. Hearing no further discussion, Senator Kiffmeyer?
Mr. Chair, I'm just thinking this is a really important issue and I'd like to ask for a roll call.
All right. Roll call's been asked for. Roll call will be granted. Senator Ingebrigtsen, would you move the bill?
Sure, I move the bill.
Senator Ingebrigtsen moves Senate File 2848, recommended to pass, move to the Finance Committee. The CLA will take the roll.
Now you're first.
Chair Limmer?
Aye.
Senator Anderson?
Aye.
Senator Bingham?
Aye.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Kiffmeyer?
Aye.
Senator Latz?
No.
Senator Matthews?
Aye.
Senator Pappas?
There being 7 yes votes and 2 no votes, the motion prevailed. Thank you, Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next order of business is Senate File 2892, Senator Duckworth's bill, regarding law enforcement grants appropriation for portable recording systems. I believe that's body cameras. But we'll find out specifically when Senator Duckworth presents his bill.
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Chair, you are correct.
Senator Duckworth, please proceed.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, members of the committee. Senate File 2892 is a $5 million appropriation in the year 2023 from the General Fund to the Peace Officer Standards and Training Board to provide grants to local law enforcement agencies for body cameras. Just a side note, applicants must provide at least 50% match to be eligible to receive a grant. Last year, we passed some legislation as it relates to body cameras and state agencies. This would allow local agencies to also apply for body cameras. They have proven to be a very critical and useful tool to protect both the public as well as our law enforcement officers and those out there conducting the duties of keeping us safe. So with that being said, Mr. Chair, I believe there are some testifiers, so if they are here and available, I would defer to them and also to members of the committee if they have any questions.
Let's start with Director Potts, Minnesota Chiefs of Police.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, my name is Jeff Potts, and I'm representing both the Minnesota Chiefs Association and the Minnesota Sheriffs Association. And I'm going to give you at least a little bit of data here that might help. I support this bill. Just last year, the MCPA surveyed our members about the use of body-worn cameras. The survey was distributed to more than 300 police chiefs throughout the state. Here's what we learned from the survey. Approximately 50% of municipal police departments in the state are now deploying this technology. The use of body-worn cameras has nearly doubled in Minnesota police departments since a similar survey was conducted just 5 years ago. The vast majority of the chiefs that responded to the survey support the use of body-worn cameras. Of the 214 police chiefs who responded to the survey, 95 of them said that they do not have body-worn cameras. And the vast majority of those who don't have them said that financial resources was the biggest reason that they don't have them. That's a big barrier to the body-worn camera program. Beyond the equipment and data storage, the high cost of comprehensive data or comprehensive audits, which are required by statute, have prevented agencies and city councils from purchasing this technology. In some cases, those costs have forced them to discontinue the use of the technology or made them think twice about the long-term return on the investment. These financial challenges are particularly great for small agencies in greater Minnesota. We believe that more police officers with body cameras equates to greater accountability and transparency for law enforcement. That is what our communities want and what they deserve. For these reasons, the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association and the Sheriff's Association support Senate File 2892. However, we encourage this body to consider increasing this appropriation to help bring this important technology to even more law enforcement agencies across the state. And thanks for your time here today, and I'll stand for any questions you might have.
Thank you, Director. We'll now move on to Executive Director Eric Misselt from the Post Board. Director.
Good afternoon, members. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not here to speak to the bill itself in terms of support or non-support. It's not the Post role. In that regard, I will say that as a former police chief myself, having body cameras deployed since 2009, I believe they're an important tool, and I would support just generally for the folks here in Minnesota to have access to that kind of funding, because they are an expensive prospect, there is no doubt. My primary purpose in coming before you today is to speak a little bit about the fact that the appropriation goes to the Post Board for administration. And again, while I support the bill itself, I want to be clear that I do not have staff here with either the expertise. So number one, I don't have the numbers. And then number two, I don't have the expertise in dealing with grant or grant administration. That has typically been handled elsewhere. And again, we are supportive, and we will do anything we can to help either in this bill or the previously mentioned bill. But I feel that I need to let you know that I don't have that kind of capacity right now to handle grants. And at least in my opinion, that would require some additional support of Post should the administration of this grant or even the bill that's being heard on Wednesday come toward Post. So that is my primary purpose in appearing before you today. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Director. I neglected to tell the committee that in the event or at the end of the hearing, we will be laying this bill over. So we'll be coming back to it sometime before the end of session. But we do have a few people that wanted to discuss it. One other question, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak for or against the bill? I do not see anyone, so we'll move on to questions. Senator Latz, your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a longtime advocate and supporter for body cameras, I certainly believe that their use ought to be expanded to every agency in the state of Minnesota. And as the chief author of the bill that put some appropriate guidelines for the use of the data that's gathered from body cameras, audio and video, I know how challenging this whole area can be, and I understand the expenses that are related for local law enforcement agencies when they have to store the data, share the data as part of the criminal justice process, and then also release the data after appropriate redactions to media and other members of the public in order to protect privacy interests of people that either we're inadvertently caught on the camera, but are not a part of the process, or have other protected reasons, such as potentially victims, and so on, people in compromised positions that information ought not to be available publicly or contents of inside of people's houses, because a lot of law enforcement incidents, especially responses to domestic cases, end up in people's own private places in their homes. That said, I think it's absolutely an appropriate role for the state to help with expenses for equipping agencies with body cameras. A lot of agencies are smaller, don't have robust budgets. These are expensive. I understand it's about $1,000 a year to outfit and maintain body cameras for each officer in the state. It's also my understanding there are about 9,000 police officers in the state that currently don't have body cameras. So if my math is right, that's about a $9 million expense to fully outfit the rest of law enforcement in the state. So it seems to me that $5 or $6 million, if met with local grants, might be enough to get the job done. Don't know whether or not a 50% match is going to be doable financially for some of the smaller agencies, especially. And it certainly would not take care of the appropriation while getting equipment out. You know, wouldn't take care of the ongoing expenses relating to maintaining the databases, which is ever expanding, just by the very nature of body camera data and body camera use. I will say there's a lot of law enforcement value to having body cameras. Sometimes they raise questions that might not have been otherwise raised. On the other hand, they are really, really helpful in most instances in answering questions about what happened. I would say probably more often than not, it reduces the need for contested hearings or trials with regard to factual disputes that might otherwise have been completely a question of one person's word against another person's word. So videos, whether they were dash cams or body cameras or bystanders, recordings of incidents do provide very valuable information for helping to solve crimes and then to hold people accountable as well. So I strongly support the effort here. I was going to raise the question that Mr. Misselt or Director Misselt raised with regard to the Pulse Board, because I wasn't sure what their capacity was for this. And so I guess the only real question I have is whether or not we don't have to make that decision here today either, I don't think, since it's going to be laid over, but we ought to think about whether or not Pulse Board or the Department of Public Safety, for example, which does have you know, staff that deal with grants, because they're just more, that's part of what they do as an agency, might be in a better position to administer the grants that are contemplated here. And I think we ought to probably gather a little more information about whether or not the $5 million is right, or $6 million, which I think the governor has in his budget for the same purpose, whether there's a match that would be needed, or whether we want to contemplate just fully subventing the costs building out the capacity to all law enforcement officers and agencies in the state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Latz. We'll move on to Senator Johnson.
Oh, I think my question has been answered here. I was just concerned about, I looked up the portable recording systems and thought that was a pretty broad category. You know, I didn't know if it included aerial, you know, recordings or anything like that, GPS monitoring. But it is defined under Chapter 13, so I think that's probably what this is pertaining to. So my question's been answered. Thank you.
Senator Bigham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Duckworth, I like this bill. I am glad we're going to be having this discussion. I have the same concern when I saw that it was going to the Post Board, and they are already talking about how they don't have staff, and then to add this onto it, I think is a little concerning. I also think that probably $5 million is not enough. I think an initial help to these smaller rural areas that need this but don't have the resources to do it. Again, I had just said that I had convened my area CLIOs, and both my sheriffs brought this up. All of my departments have them, but how this is a need statewide. But then also, I just had the honor on Friday to be at the Chiefs of Police their annual conference and being on a legislative panel. And I think we had departments there that had as few as four. and then you had like departments like Woodbury that were there that have quite a few officers. But I really don't think we, when we're sitting on a financial situation we are, I think we should be investing in our communities and safe communities. And as it's already been said, this is one really fantastic way to make our communities safer and also safer for the officer, but also in communities. Senator Duckworth, I'm going to be having a bill drafted that is at a suggestion of one of my police chiefs to have the storage, the data storage done by the state, and they each get their own little cloud and they can't look in each other's clouds. The other issue that popped up, at least talking to some of my CLIOs, were the reports that have to be done, the annual reports, and to see if maybe the state auditor can't have something to do to maybe audit the program. So maybe we can work together on looking at that. But I definitely think the 50% match for some of these smaller communities could be problematic, and they may not accept it if they can't on an ongoing basis, and they already are going to have ongoing costs for it. So I think it's an opportunity to revisit this really good program, and we have the resources available to make some of these changes that I think will be better and stronger in the long run for Minnesotans and for law enforcement. But I think this is a fantastic idea, and if this is all we can muster up to do, then let's do it. But I think we can do more, and I'm here to help.
Thank you, Senator Bigham. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the question that I have would be to the Post Board concerns about administering this. Now, I know in the past, in fact, we've had discussions about this, the OJP folks that administer these dollars might be better fit. My question to the director of the Post Board is, would the Post Board administering this to the local counties and cities, could it possibly be something that would be jeopardizing the licensing of peace officers? And why I ask that is I'm still not 100% in favor of cameras. Because they're still flawed. You can make mistakes with them, and they can and create a lot more problems than they do not create. However, I'm just wondering if the Post Board would be subject to that kind of scrutiny should there be a camera that they administered out of their office that malfunctioned. And I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, and maybe other members, that we should be looking for someplace else, being they do strictly licensing of peace officers on the Post Board. That's what their charge is. Really has nothing to do with equipment purchasing or working with grants. I don't know if there's anybody from the OJP here or anybody would know if they're able to administer this without hiring more people. I don't totally, you know, I think it's going to happen. I'm kind of a standalone out there. $5 million, as Senator Bigham said, might not be enough. And yes, we do have Woodbury's, and we do also have Mayberry's in the state of Minnesota. And those are the cities that can't afford it. But So that would be my only concern or question, and maybe the director could answer that if he would have any idea there would be any possibility of licensed officers, his office having issues with might jeopardize the license of peace officers.
Sir Ingridson, did you want to direct that question to Director Misselt?
Yes, please.
From the Post Board. Director, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Do you understand the question that Senator Ingridson?
Yep. Thank you, sir. And thank you for the question. I'm not a body camera expert by any stretch. I do have experience with them. As I said, I had in my department since 2009. The biggest issue, and has been spoken about here, obviously storage and whatnot, but also the data itself, the rules and the laws regarding how that data is handled. In direct response to your question, if I understand it correctly, it's not clear to me, and unlike many in the present company, I'm not a lawyer either. By virtue, again, notwithstanding our staffing issues, by virtue of issuing the grants so that agencies can buy these cameras or afford them, I'm not sure I see an intersection between that and any potential licensure actions that might come at a later date as a result of disciplinary action or some conduct where the camera is involved, simply because we would not have that data just by administering the program. We would not automatically be administering or monitoring that data. And any data we would get from body cameras, in a particular complaint, would come through a different avenue, not through the administration of the grant program itself. That would be my at least initial take on that.
Thank you. Senator Ingridson, follow up?
So, Mr. Chair, if I could just follow up. So then you would be okay with administering this program?
Director?
Notwithstanding the issue of not having staff and no experience in administering grants, as far as those kind of legal issues that you broach, I don't see that as an issue with us. But again, I'm not an attorney.
Attorneys don't have all the answers. Wouldn't you agree, Senator Latz?
We usually think that we do, Mr. Chairman, and we'll come up with answers.
Don't I know?
You've been frequently accused of practicing law without a license, as I recall, Mr. Chairman.
I have no comment, Mr. Senator Latz. Senator Latz, I guess that's your entree into the next question. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head here, but if we're going to be looking at administering grants or giving grants to smaller agencies, many of these agencies wouldn't have the purchasing power either to get the best deals on the equipment. And so we might, I don't know if you add this into the legislation or not, but there might be some value in looking at a purchasing consortium of some sort. I know a lot of agencies like to, or the big agencies anyway, they like to look at all the different options, see the different manufacturers, all the software that goes with it, and decide what works best for them. But I suspect a lot of smaller agencies might not have the capacity to do that or be interested in doing that level of inquiry. And perhaps, especially if this goes to OJP or some other group within the Department of Public Safety for administration, maybe there's a way to look at whether or not some kind of a larger purchasing consortium could get better pricing on the equipment than having individual agencies looking to purchase these themselves, or at least the option could be made available to them, make the grant money go farther. The other thing, I know there is at least one skeptic still on the committee about the value of body cameras, but I will tell you in terms of the availability as evidence in cases, in the ability to hold accountable both the people that are on the camera that are engaging with law enforcement, instead what they do, how they engage when they know they're on camera, and also how law enforcement handles matters as well, are valuable reasons to have the cameras. And finally, I think in the long run, it ultimately protects police departments against false accusations, either of use of force at all or illegal use of force. or even saying things that would be inappropriate to say. You know, I think the body cameras go a long ways toward protecting police departments against false accusations that they've done something wrong. So I think there's a lot of value to having the body cameras. And I can tell you just from my own practice, there are many times that I've had clients that have said, well, they think this thing happened or that happened. And I can go through all the body camera footage and I can tell them, you know what, there's nothing on camera to suggest it. In fact, it happened differently than you recall. And that ends the discussion instead of becoming a point of contention in the legal case. So a lot of value all around, I would suggest them. I hope Senator Ingebrigtsen has an opportunity to continue considering the value of these cameras. Thank you.
Thank you. On this point, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, and I appreciate those comments, Senator Latz. And I have talked to law enforcement agencies where they have been, you know, you never read about too often about the ones that go right or the ones that appropriately show what actually happens. The only you probably know me well enough, been knowing me long enough to know that I've been away from the field for a long time, but I'm from the era of when I hired somebody, I trusted them. So, and I'm not saying that anybody just distrusts the officers they hire now any different than back then, but it was a different era. And I think a lot of folks my age were a little apprehensive about the use of the cameras. But I understand that moving forward, after being there 16 years, things change. And I'm certainly going to support the bill. I'm just kind of one of them old horses that, again, used to trust my officers. So I understand. Thank you.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I think of what Senator Ingebrigtsen just said, it reminds me of an old saying, trust but verify. So I think sometimes these body cameras, and talking with my local police, they have saved money with attorneys and other things, as many times they review it. Something's not right, they can follow up on it, and if something is okay, then they can get the perpetrator in the situation, such as Senator Latz said, that there was nothing there and they were able to proceed. It was done more quickly and more efficiently than coming through other methods that what they do. But I have a practical question for Mr. Turner on the finances of the 3.5% administration allowance there. So, Mr. Turner, would that include the $5 million matching grant or just the $5 million from the state of Minnesota through this particular bill?
Mr. Turner, our financial analyst.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator. As it's written right now, the 3.5% appropriation would come out of the $5 million. It comes to $175,000. That's as the bill stands now. There's a mm-hmm. couple things that have to be decided. Like Mr. Misselt said, if POST is going to administrate this, they're going to need a grants administrator. So when this bill, which is going to be laid over if it is part of the omnibus bill, there would be an appropriation line that would create and fund a grant administrator within POST Board. I think that the 3.5% was written into the bill just as a recognition that POST does not have this capability at this time and that the author did not forget them. Mm-hmm. You know, if,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes, it does make sense, but it is typical even for entities that routinely do have grant administration, they will get this administration fee. But they do have experience in other staff. They can also contract out for it. They don't have to necessarily hire for it, but they have the resource of the $175,000 to contract out to an actual grant administrator. So there are ways to get around that, but I thought it was important for folks to know that that's what that is allowed for in this particular bill. It's not general money that just goes to the post board for things that would be understood that it would be for that. So I think that's important to realize that. I think that answers my question, and I think in supporting this and the body cameras, I think everybody's made really good comments that I concur with. And Mr. Chair, I just thought, though, that the administrative expense needed to be addressed for the post board. But if it goes to OJP or somebody else, I'll leave that as a future decision. But if it is going to go to the post board, they may need something additional for that, though I'm reluctant to take any money from the actual body camera. The other thing is, Mr. Chair, we might want to consider something. The discretion of the locals to choose which brand they want can be important. There's not just one. But in regards to some other areas, you can do, admin can do this, and that would be a contract that you would have many bidders could bid on it, and it would be an open contract, which would allow the local police chiefs or the city who has responsibility for this money to be able to buy off that state contract that's been used with election equipment in a variety of ways. So that admin puts forward that and works with others who have subject matter expertise in regards to that. I'm sure there are many of those in Minnesota. And then they establish that state contract. And that would even have value beyond, but that's still not the grant administration program. That's just something in addition, since it was brought up. And admin does many variations of state contracts for equipment that locals and state can also purchase off of, including our own computers and other equipment that we're using here today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to participate in this discussion? Seeing none, I think we've had a very robust discussion regarding this Senate File 2892, and we will lay that over for possible consideration in the future. We'll now move on to Senate File 2628, and this is another Senator Duckworth bill. And in the event that this bill will be voted on today, and if passed, would move to the Capital Investment Committee. Senator Duckworth, would you explain your bill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for the great feedback on the previous bill as well. Senate File 2628 is a $1 million appropriation in fiscal year 2023 to give a public safety grant for Dakota County to design, in addition to the Dakota County Law Enforcement Center in Hastings, for the purpose of serving 24 to 30 inmates with physical, mental, or behavioral needs requiring specialized care. Currently, the issue at that particular facility is they've got a population that includes inmates with serious health needs that should be addressed while they're in custody. The Sheriff's Office provides services, but a more effective model with this new space could greatly enhance what they're doing there. Of course, the solution is to look at creating an addition to this law enforcement center, which would serve 24 to 30 inmates with the needs I described before. I represent a good portion of Dakota County. This would be very good in the South Metro, and I think has the opportunity to serve other counties in addition to Dakota County, which would make it a wise investment of the state's funds. Mr. Chair, I do also have a testifier, if now is an appropriate time. I have Commander Enderline here with Dakota County Sheriff's Department, and would love to invite him to share his perspective as well. Thank you for being here.
Commander, welcome to the committee. To begin, would you identify yourself for the record?
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for having me. Pat Enderline, Commander with Dakota County Sheriff's Office.
All right. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Dakota County Jail was constructed in 1988. Since that time, our space and programming needs have drastically changed. While we have made great strides in our partnerships and programming to support those with special needs, our limited and outdated space certainly has not followed that same progression. We have a 263-bed facility, and what we call our pre-COVID numbers, our average daily population, we would sit around 205 inmates. Last year, we were around 172 and climbing back up. This morning, we're at 209. It's important to note that although our overall population had gone down during the period of COVID, our medical and mental health care needs went up. In 2020, direct medical service provided inmates went up 25%. As the need for our medical and mental health grew, we amplified our contracted health care. This included a transition to 24/7 nursing and addition of a second full-time mental health professional. Additionally, we have an embedded social services jail treatment program supporting those with substance use disorders, as well as a contract with People Incorporated to further support those with mental health needs. We have 7 housing units and an intake area comprised of larger holding tanks and single cells, including 2 padded cells. This intake area was updated and added on in 2006. The intake area is intended to be used as a brief stop until a housing unit is assigned. As you'll see in the photographs, the intake area is being used as a quasi-mental health medical ward on a daily basis. The first 6 pictures are from one day in January. The final picture is from another day, but used to illustrate the housing for those with a higher level of medical care as well. In 2021, we had 275 inmates who were housed in our intake area on suicide watch. Those cells are certainly not conducive to supporting any overall health needs, but we have no other option. The padded cells are intended to be used for combative inmates upon arrival. As the name implies, they literally have padded materials all the way around it to minimize self-harm. And as you can see in one of the pictures, there's a grate in the floor that's used as a toilet. In addition to those housed in our intake area, there are others spattered throughout our housing units with greater need. In 2021, that included 503 on substance withdrawal watches, 265 on medical watches, and 739 on character watches. A character watch means anyone who is exhibiting odd behavior or needs extra documentation. This includes a step-down classification from suicide watch, history of mental illness, or history of suicidal ideation. From a recent data review, it's estimated that 18% of our total jail population has a significant mental disorder, meaning a severe or severe and persistent mental illness, many of them suffering co-occurring disorders to include substance abuse. In addition to our regular inmate population, we may also house inmates who have been committed to the Department of Human Services. These individuals are categorized as mentally ill or mentally ill and dangerous. As DHS has limited bed space, they stay with us until they have room. We have 4 as of this morning. We consistently work with our mental health clinicians and social services crisis response unit on best care options, which may include placement at Metro hospitals. Unfortunately, inmates return to us almost as quickly as we bring them up, as space in hospitals is also very limited. In 2020, based upon all of the preceding information, we requested a third-party needs assessment for our facility. After that was completed in 2021, the assessment was corroborated by Dakota County's Office of Performance and Analysis. In short, the data pointed to the need for a 24 to 30 bed integrative health services unit. This unit would specialize in supporting a variety of enhanced inmate needs, such as those on substance withdrawals, suffering from substance use disorders or mental illness, and those on specialized watches such as suicide or medical watch. In your packet, we included a basic schematic of a potential housing option. We would be looking at a 1-level new housing unit comprised of 4 separate areas with therapeutic spaces and a calming environment. We know the care we can provide them has a direct impact on the health of our communities, and this unit would also have a broader impact on the metro area, as only 44% of inmates between 2018 and 2021 self-reported as Dakota County residents. We continue to be thoughtful in support and programming approach, and we look forward to this opportunity. I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions, Senator Bingham?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I can also, this would be located in Hastings, which is in my district, so I'd be happy to move the bill with the recommendation to pass to capital investment when the time is ready. But first, thank you, Senator Duckworth, for bringing this forward. I toured the Dakota County Law Enforcement Center this past fall, and the terrific staff they're dealing with every situation. They're dealing with the best they can in a COVID environment, but the need is real. And Senator Duckworth and I have the honor of representing a county that is ahead of its time. Currently, Dakota County embeds social workers, specifically mental health workers, in their within their law enforcement in Apple Valley, Rosemont, West St. Paul, and South St. Paul to help with the chronic mental health issues. And now they're going to expand that. They just announced they're expanding that countywide to get to the rest of our districts. So this is very timely and needed. and I hope the committee supports it through the process. I hope it's included in the bonding bill at the end of the day, and hopefully we pass one. But really appreciate the discussion today and look forward to continuing it. But this is definitely needed in Dakota County and for that region that it will serve.
Thank you. Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This sounds like a facility that it would be well used and is definitely needed. And I would add to Senator Duckworth's comments and the commander's comments that it would also protect staff safety as well. If they've got an appropriate place to take care of the inmates, it places staff at less risk. I'm a little bit concerned about the precedent that a request like this for a direct appropriation from our general fund budget would be, as opposed to going through the, I think it would be the more ordinary course, which would be a bonding bill, a capital investment request. Individual county facilities, jails, sheriff's departments, things like that are paid for directly by the counties. Even courthouses typically are built by the counties. And you can go through a long list of other buildings that the counties pay for the counties' uses, libraries, social services buildings, all sorts of things. And while there are some that may have larger value and use, that will be more regional facilities, like, as I recall, the Tri-County lab, for example. I wonder if there's any other examples that we could point to where there's been a request for, and at least a request granted, for just direct cash appropriations for a specific county building or building addition, and especially just for planning money as well. Is there any... Has anything else like this been done before that we know of or Senator Duckworth knows about?
Senator Latz, I looked over to Chris Turner to see if he had anything, and he shook his head in the negative. He doesn't know of an example that you're searching for. I do not know of one either. It's probably why we are going to send this to Capital Investment Committee. I believe the chair has the same concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The issue of the counties, as Senator Latz mentioned, normally putting up their own jail facility, their own administration, or their courthouse in the county. I have an example of where the county asked if we could put a dental facility in the new admin building in Wright County as it was being built. It's in the process of being finished, and right now they are contemplating having that dental facility be put in place because of funds that went through capital investment several years ago here in the Capital Investment Committee. So that is a possibility where funds can be coming from the state to assist counties in dealing with situations where, in our case, in Wright County, was for a dental facility to be implemented to help reach out to not only Wright County, but to Sherburne, Meeker, Carver, other counties that have needs for low-income individuals. My question for either Senator Duckworth or for our testifier is, do you have enough staff right now to take care of the vulnerable population that you are dealing with that come into your facility as far as mental health individuals or other staff? And of course, if we expanded this, it would require more. So I'm just wondering what your experience is right now with the staff dealing with the population in your facility.
Commander Enderline.
Sure.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, we do have adequate staff right now as we're seeing it. We're in the process of a Department of Corrections study to look at our staffing, and we've received some data preliminarily. We're meeting with our Office of Performance and Analysis as well that is looking at existing staffing. Certainly with this addition, that would require additional staffing. We'd be looking at increasing the staff to make it more robust within that unit as well. Typically, people on these specialized watches require a 15-minute personal check versus the 25-minute that we do, 30-minute Department of Corrections check. So with the addition, we would certainly need additional staffing. And we're in the process right now of looking at our existing staffing based upon what we have in-house today.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are some of your staff in the position of retiring so that all of a sudden it comes to that point and we've got to see a replacement for that? Are you having any of that situation, and will you be able to get more people to replace them?
Commander.
Mr. Chair, Senator, we're in the same position as law enforcement in general within our jail facilities. Recruitment retention is very, very difficult. We actually have a very high, I believe last year our turnover rate was approximately 60%. So we're looking at some options for that too. So retirement in that field, I don't want to say it's an anomaly. It's not as frequent as resignation prior to retirement. So that typically isn't something we consider, but
thank you.
Commander, this project, the way it's been described to us, gives us a vision of what it'll look like in the future. But how do you handle individuals that have these problems and challenges now? Are they mixed in with your regular jail population? Are they segregated? How do you handle it now?
Mr. Chair, all of the above. If everybody has that packet, those are images of our intake area. The six pictures are one day in January of our intake area. Our high-level cases, certainly our suicide watches, are placed in the intake cells. As you can see, they wear Kevlar suits within those areas. The rest of them that don't meet that need or can't be housed there because of space are within our general housing units. That would be our character watches, medical watches, diabetic watches. So within our housing units, every inmate requires a 25-minute check by our policy. All the inmates on these special watches require a 15-minute check, and then they also must do a specialized log on them.
And Commander, are many of them mixed in with your other population?
Mr. Chair,
of those that do not have these unique challenges?
Mr. Chair, yes, they are. We run different cohorts by classification, by intake date, so we separate them as best we can. But yes, many of them are mixed within our general population.
I would imagine it's challenging at times.
It's very challenging for staff, yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Oh, I see Senator Kipmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for you, Sheriff. It's in the handout that we have here, the addition would hold about 24 to 30 inmates. And then it talks about it as a regional asset from across the Twin Cities metro area and even statewide. So it's 24 to 30. How many of these beds would you think that in Dakota itself you would avail yourself of using this? And then can you just extrapolate a little bit more of how broadly this would be helpful regionally or statewide?
Commander.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kipmeyer, as we looked at that, we lean on our Office of Performance and Analysis to look at our internal data, and part of that really was us filling up the beds to a certain extent. As I stated, approximately 44% of our inmates identify as Dakota County residents, so part of that is approximately 2% identify as homeless, so approximately 50% are out of Dakota County residents. So that is part of the statewide and metro impact on that. If there were an opportunity for us to board for other counties, we would certainly look at that as we become specialized. I'm not sure that that's an option immediately if this were approved and open. I think we would need some time to work through that and see what our capacity would be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's helpful.
Thank you. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions. Of those beds here that you have, how many of them do you think would be sentenced prisoners or being held for court?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebretson, I don't know on that for sure. I don't have the breakdown of our pre-sentence population. County jails are very transient. Our average length of stay is approximately 9 days. So I don't have that exact data right now.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair?
Senator Ingebretson.
A couple questions, one real quickly. So this is more of a facility to handle those that are MI, and all of us sitting here over the last years have been grappling with this, and not as much as the sheriffs and the sheriff's offices that are dealing with this and looking for beds and so on and so forth. So would you be under the regulation of or under the guidance of the Department of Corrections when you have a facility like this, or would it be the Department of Health and Human Services?
Commander.
Mr. Chair, Senator, our understanding as of right now, based upon how it's framed as an integrative health services unit, we would fall under the Department of Corrections. If we label this as specifically a mental health unit, there may be some other sanctions that come into that or some other guiding oversight that comes with that. But at this point, we have been told Department of Corrections.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, members, just a comment. I mean, the sheriffs have been grappling with this constantly and looking for beds for not only the ones that have been arrested, but the ones that need MI treatment. And thanks to whatever legislature decided to do away with the beds that we did years ago and put up these smaller units throughout the state of Minnesota, now we've got this huge issue, very costly issue, a very potentially dangerous issue going on constantly. And this is an example of what the Sheriff's Department is saying, well, you guys aren't helping us out much, we're gonna do it ourselves. And I look for this not to be one of the first, I look to this just to be, one of many that are gonna be coming forward, because they're very frustrated and they need the bed space. And I don't know, Commander, and then I'll just finish up with this. If you have some of these folks in here that are mentally ill, they're charged with a minor offense. Are they let go with no bail, or can you get comment on that? If you don't have the room, are you more apt to do that? Maybe you don't want to say anything about that. But my frustration would be that you're going to let somebody like this go because of the cost, and right back out into the system they go, and it's a real public safety issue, but. You don't have to comment on that. I'm just rattling on and on and on here about the need, and there's no question about it. And I have to question, too, as Senator Latz does, as to whether this should be a state issue or a county issue, because I'm sure that if you take somebody else from another area, you're going to certainly charge them bed rate per day. I'm assuming that, a per diem per day. So, but I guess that's for the finance, or excuse me, for the finance committee or the bonding committee to figure out.
Commander, did you want to make any comment to Senator Ingebretson's
Mr. Chair, Senator, I can when we start charging them the per diem, that's after they're sentenced. Then we could start charging that. So like I said, we're very transient. The majority of those are pre-sentenced inmates, so those would not be charged. And then as far as the overall look, we do look at that in overall bail assessment. If the judge has appropriately defined bail for somebody and maybe it's $1,000, typically somebody would come up with that, but if they don't have the cognitive ability or capacity to navigate that, then we do have people within social services, community corrections, our own mental health professionals that can help navigate that. Maybe they shouldn't be in jail, but they simply don't have the means or opportunity or knowledge to come up with that bail. So at that point, we may reach out and help them pursue a bail review or something like that.
Right. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Senator Bigham renews her motion.
I do renew my motion that this pass and be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment.
Senator Bigham moves. Senate File 2628 be recommended to pass and be sent to the Capital Investment Committee. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a quick question. It was a follow-up from my earlier question about the first bill that is going on its own to the Finance Committee. Why did Senator Rosen request it from our committee?
Well, I would imagine there's a dollar appropriation, and she would want to see that.
But normally, Mr. Chairman, normally she would see it as part of a bigger package. So why did she want this bill to go standalone?
I don't know why she wants it to be standalone, and I'm not sure if it will end as a standalone. I don't have any information on it.
Okay. Okay.
Hearing no further business before this committee, we stand adjourned.